B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano. Seeing the coach back there. We got into a nice conversation about the little Sixer basketball.
Well, look at what was left behind.
I can't see. I'm blind.
It's the Popeye's. It's Mike Scott's Popeye's sandwich.
That's the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
It is. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if maybe this was an extra, but somebody left this here. And I think, I mean, he said that he had one.
Go ahead, Tunis.
Andrew, you want it?
Oh, what if Mike comes back?
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna haul. I didn't want to leave it out there because you know how people find food at this place and we never see it again. So I'll hang on to it. And then if he comes back for a sandwich.
He's not coming back.
I'll put it in the fridge.
I want to see it. You're not going to eat that, are you?
No, I'm not eating it.
Right, but the Tunis will.
Yeah, I'd probably eat it.
So Tunis said he could eat how many Chick-fil-A's?
Well, we did. It was the Joel Embiid challenge.
Right.
The six chicken sandwiches and three milkshakes fries?
Yeah, right.
I could probably do it, except the milkshake because.
Oh, wait, I think this one's half eaten.
I'll still eat it.
He was probably saving it for later.
Dude, one time there was that hoagie that was in there for like seven. You know the story, right?
Yes, the big dog.
Big dog.
I don't even want to.
Go ahead, Chew. Just tell the story.
What did he do?
That hoagie was in there for like months. And Joe Stazak got really hungry doing one of the nighttime shifts here on the weekend. And he decided to eat it. And I think the bro was here. They were co-hosting together.
Yeah.
So Stazak looked into the fridge to see what was there. And he saw a hoagie. He brought it out. It was expired by like a month.
Man, oh, it was horrible.
He saw mold. He saw the mold.
He was picking it off, right?
He ripped off the mold as if that was going to do anything. Now, the oils have been there for a month, and it's been expired, and he ate it, and within, like, minutes, he felt sick.
Yeah.
I think he powered through the show. Like, I don't think he left.
Are you sure he got sick?
No, he got sick. Yeah, he came on with Jason the next day, and we asked him about it. He was like, yeah. You know, it wasn't a good idea to eat it.
Why would he eat it? What kind of was it? There was probably meat. Ew.
Ew. Yeah, no, skeeve. The high skeeve quotient. No, and he, like, the bro, listen, the bro is a dumpster diver.
Yes.
Like,
right.
Like, he'll dive deep.
Yeah.
You know, week, 2 weeks. But even the bro would not go as low as that.
What up?
Wait, did I tell you what Jason did?
No.
What Mert did?
I don't even want to these men here, man, I'll tell you.
Wait.
What did he do?
So, for the NBA experience, they take us to this amazing restaurant. All right? Jose Andres, this great chef. Right? He's the one who, in fact, after the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, he fed the island. Like, he was got all his chef buddies. And he's an amazing guy. And he's an incredible chef, Chef Andres. He's amazing. So we go to his restaurant. That's where the NBA people had the media gathering. We had this media dinner. So me, Coach Camille, and Jason, we all hung out. We went to this thing for the NBA experience media. So it was amazing. It was all tapas. And it was, you know, I mean, this restaurant was ridiculous. I mean, it was unbelievable, some of the stuff that he made. So there was I can't even tell you what it was. It was like a fried ball of like this incredible chicken that was shredded. It was unbelievable. I don't even remember the name of the dish. It was like unbelievable. They were bite size though, right? Like they were the size of like a mini egg roll.
Okay.
And they were tremendous. Like it was tremendous.
Yeah.
So they, one falls on the floor. See, they're served in a, like on a pillow, because that's how he would eat them as a kid. They were his grandmother's recipe. And so he would eat these balls, right? And so they brought them around. They were like outraged. Like they're the most amazing things ever.
Right.
One falls on the floor. So the coach has it, it's in his dish, like next to his dish. And Jason goes, yo, what's that? And he goes, it's, you know, hit the floor. And he grabbed and popped it. He popped it. I can tell you, it was good enough to eat.
I mean, look, five-second rule or no? Was it more than 5 seconds?
Nah, it was one for like, you know, like 3 minutes.
Oh man.
Nah, not long. Probably about 30 seconds. I'm exaggerating. But it was on the floor. Now, I wouldn't have enough. Like, I got too much shame to eat that.
In Disney World, lots of germs.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was always at this restaurant.
Right.
It was, it was this fine restaurant.
Yeah, everybody's feet were at the fine restaurant.
Right. And he ate off the floor.
See,
the coach was laughing.
Can I admit to something?
Yeah, go ahead.
What?
So I made breakfast this morning. I like to do the eggs, which I know you don't like the eggs.
Right, no.
And a veggie burger.
The egg. Yeah.
The veggie burger gets crispy. So instead of doing the crispy bacon,
You did a burger and eggs?
A veggie burger. So it's not meat, you know? I only do it for breakfast every once in a while. It's good.
That's bad.
But I dropped half the veggie burger on the floor.
Really?
And I ate it.
Wow. That's bad.
There's dog hair on it, too.
No!
Gentlemen, let's keep let's keep the eating habits of our coworkers, too.
Wow, that's bad.
Behind
now,
closed
my
doors.
My father used to, years and years and years ago, there was the Villa de Roma. You know Villa de Roma?
Yes, yes.
On 9th Street?
Yes.
Like, these years ago, like long eons ago, before I was even born, he made pizzas there. And, you know, they would often fall. He would serve them. So just FYI. All right. Now, listen. Enough of that. Tim McManus does a great job covering the birds, right? And we got his training camp report coming up right now. And I'm anxious to ask him the question that we've been batting around a little bit because he really precipitated it. So let's get T-Mac right up here on the Comcast Business Hotline, brought to us by Training Camp IT from Training Camp. T-Mac, what do you say, T-Mac?
Anthony, what's going on? Another hot one out there today.
Yeah, man. What do you make of Eagles-Ravens today, practice number two?
I got a little chippier today after there were zero scuffles yesterday as the teams are getting to know one another. But today, tempers flared on a couple of occasions. Alshon Jeffrey along the sidelines at one point. Just a real small dust up, and then a couple of backup linemen got into it as well, which created a little bit of a scrum. So there was a level of chippiness to the practice, you know, the intensity going up here. I thought that the Ravens were getting the better of the Eagles early. The defense in particular was having trouble kind of getting their stuff together. And Nigel Bradham and Rasul Douglas weren't on the same page during 7-on-7, let up a touchdown. And then Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins had the same issue and were kind of barking at one another, which also was an indication that there is actually like some, you know, legit competition going on where they're feeling where they want to get it right. But they were arguing a little bit. But then things started to smooth out and we saw the defense take a step up and really do a good job against Lamar Jackson and that first team offense.
So, would you make out Carson versus that Ravens defense is pretty nasty. How the offense look?
It is nasty, but I thought that Wentz had a better day today than he did yesterday. There was a couple really nice throws from him. Unfortunately, his best throw of the day was kind of spoiled because he had this beauty of a long ball, 50 yards with some loft right onto the fingertips of Mac Hollins, and Hollins unfortunately couldn't haul it in. But otherwise, I thought for the most part, you know, Wentz was pretty sharp. You know, he hit Ertz on a laser right before that to Alshon Jeffrey along the sideline. I thought it was a crisp practice overall from Wentz. Not perfect, but crisper than we saw yesterday.
So this came up because of you. It was interesting because when you were talking about, and you made great points, man. You really did. When you break it down, it's you can't expect Carson to come out and be lights out the first month. That whole thing's going to take time. He's got to get a rhythm going. He's got new faces. They have a multitude of weapons. You're going to figure out how to use the weapons and deploy those weapons properly. So the first month could be a little choppy. How does the fan base react, T-Mac, to a scuffling Carson early?
It might get people a little bit jittery, but I don't necessarily think that's going to be the way that it goes for the rest of the season. Or I don't think it should be too big of a cause for concern because I do think that there is going to be an adjustment period. In fact, I asked Wentz about that today, because the topic of conversation was about how these coaches, you know, Mike Groh, and then Doug Peterson said it again, was that, you know, he is operating a lot quicker. He's processing things faster. He's getting through his reads faster. And he's been really operating from the pocket almost the entire summer. I mean, it's been very rare that he kicks out. And so Wentz was presented the question of, you know, about, you know, was that intentional? And he basically said, you know, why would I run, you know, when I have all these weapons that I could just throw to? And I followed that up by saying, you know, do you think that there's going to be, you know, growing pains or, you know, at least a transition period? And, you know, he said, yeah, I haven't really thought about it, but I don't think so. But I really feel, Anthony, that, you know, while he's trying to operate more as a pocket passer and has to kind of implement that in with the quarterback that he's been, which, I mean, has just been the playmaking Carson Wentz, break out of the pocket, extend plays. How do you marry those two and be kind of the new Carson Wentz? And it's I mean, easy to think that that would take some time, right? I mean, that's got to take some time in live action.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I agree. And I just, my only fear was more from the fan base that they would be impatient. There's so much surrounding him and with Foles and the whole thing. That's why, like, I don't want to implore them to show patience, but look, it might take a month before it looks really, really pretty, and you got to give him a little bit of slack. That's kind of what I took away from our conversation yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's right. And maybe because he has such a good supporting cast that it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be more losses than wins early on. And because he has so many weapons, you know, maybe there's some stumbles followed by some fireworks as he gets his footing. So that's not to say that it's going to be like, you know, this really long road for him or it's going to look disastrous. But I think it's totally possible that he looks kind of caught in between at times from the old Carson Wentz to the new Carson Wentz.
Talking to Tim McManus, terrific ESPN, right here, 97.5 Fanatic, his incredible podcast, Embedded, and he's brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. All right, so T-Mac, one guy that's an interesting person that we haven't really talked a lot about, but who has got a lot on him for his second year, and that's Mike Groh. How do you see him getting his feet under him now, second year going in as the OC? Now, I know Doug is the play caller, and he's the OC on their offensive coach, but there is a lot of responsibility, and we saw what happened, you know, before he got here. So, you know, when you look at Mike, how do you kind of see him putting his own stamp on things?
I think it's right to point that out. In fact, you know, we have to do this exercise for ESPN that says, you know, who from your team organization is on the hot seat? And, you know, there's not a lot of guys on the hot seat that you can think of given the last 2 years. But so I had to kind of rack my brain. And the one that I came up with was Groh because, you know, the offense did take a step back last year. They scored almost a touchdown less on average. And they had a really tough time starting games. I mean, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL of scoring points in the first quarter. And that really got them into a situation where they're playing from behind constantly. That's not how they draw it up. And you can put some of those slow starts onto game planning. And so for those reasons, and the fact that you do have a healthy Wentz now, and you do have so many weapons on offense, that if this offense isn't a juggernaut, then you're going to start looking for some answers pretty quick. So I think this is a big year for Groh. I think that, you know, he was in a difficult position last year of, you know, you're taking over for Frank Reich coming off of Super Bowl championship. It's on a short year. You're trying to get your footing as a coach in a new position with the pressures that come with that. And, you know, I think that we've seen, at least from our experiences and interactions with him during the course of training camp and in the spring, is that, you know, he seems a little bit more relaxed now, seems a little bit more comfortable with what he's doing. And the accounts are that he's, you know, he's a really smart and good coach that maybe just needed a little time to kind of, you know, find himself in that role. So, yeah, I think that he just has to kind of take a breath and find his own identity here. And it's not rocket science with this group, man, because, you know, right, he's got a lot of weapons to work with.
T-Mac with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, real quick, because looks like Jalen Mills on the pop. So to start the season, who's your nickel? So if Sidney Jones is going to start on the outside, who's your nickel?
So I think Maddox could end up being that answer. What we've seen throughout the course of training camp is Maddox and Sidney Jones flip-flopping roles, where one of them will be on the outside on a given day, the other one will be in the slot. And then even like today, you know, they flipped in practice their respective roles. What makes the most sense to me is to have Maddox start on the outside along with Darby. And then when they get in the sub packages, which is like all the time, they're in like 70% of the time, have Jones be the outside guy and have Maddox fall into the slot. So that's where I would place my money right now. But based off of what Schwartz has done over the past several months, it seems like he's really been experimenting with both looks to see what's best for him.
Where's Russell fit into this picture? Because I like Russell.
Yeah, I think, Russell has shown some nice things, and coaches have talked well of him in his development this year. And we've seen him start a lot as a result of both Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills being on the sideline. I think as Darby starts coming back and solidifying that right corner spot, that means that Douglas, in theory, would not start because they've had him almost exclusively at right corner.
Right.
So my thought is that Darby is ready, and he's trending that way, that Douglas will just be kind of like the first man in.
All right, T-Mac, last thing. Any kind of inclination about Thursday night and what you're going to see for the third preseason game?
I mean, the more signals they send, Anthony, the more it suggests that playing the starters in the preseason is not really a big part of their plans. I mean, I think it's possible that Peterson rolls him out there for a little bit, but he's playing kind of close to his vest like he did the first 2 weeks, and we know the result of that. It was no 11 and no most of the ones. And so, they just really seem like they're going away from preseason games and more towards kind of heightening emphasis on practice. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, where, you know, if we see him, I don't think it's going to be very long.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think it's smart, too. And look, that's where the league's headed anyway. After the new CBA, they're going to get rid of two preseason games. That's a lock, so.
Yeah, that's good for fans, too, right? Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to sit through those things.
No, I agree. T-Mac, especially good for you, baby.
Yeah, brother.
Great stuff, man. Keep it up, babe, all right?
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, T-Mac. Tim McManus, ESPN 97.5 The Fanatic on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, let me sneak in Vinny and Doug Coe. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vin!
Cuz, what's up, boys?
What's going on, Vin?
Nothing much, man. Excited to see you guys on Saturday at FanFest, dude. Hopefully it's going to be a nice day. We get rid of this heat.
Yeah,
I was all eagled up, man, when I called. But then we got Mike Scott on, and then you guys were bashing Gabe because his moronic lineup changes. And now I almost lost my train of thought.
How cool was Mike? Mike was cool.
There's a lot of guys that get that moniker, like you're a Philly guy. And a lot of times it's misunderstood by the national media because they don't even understand what a true Philly guy is.
Right.
But he couldn't be more. It's ridiculous. It's perfect. In fact, I'd like to maybe institute the first of that Jack Honey toast. Maybe at 1 o'clock on Saturday, I would.
Let's go, man. I'm in. Let's go.
I'm in.
All right.
So, yeah, listen, this is what I wanted to say about Carson. I got the poll and I put my vote in. But I really believe, and I know this is going to sound stupid because it's old school football, but if Doug will run the football like we did the year he was the MVP, then we're going to be just fine. I mean, it's the best way to get this offensive line going. They're not going to have a whole lot of continuity coming into the regular season. As a football player in my youth, obviously everybody wants to run a football. You know what I mean? It's easier. And I think as a quarterback, I think he's got to, we have all these backs, let's use them.
I agree. And look, Doug's shown that he'll run it. I mean, we've seen him do it. Like, especially when they have a lead. The one thing I'm kind of real excited, I think they'll be able to salt games away. Like, their 4-minute offense should be really, really good with those backs.
I agree. I think Jordan Howard can play that LeGarrette Blount type role that he did with a little bit more youth and a little bit more vibrance. I got scared, man, when we lost Frank Reich last year. I thought maybe a lot of that run tendency went to Indianapolis. I remember watching Colts games and saying,
that's our
offense right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So, I want to see, you know what I'm interested too? They got away from the screen game too. I'm curious. West Coast offense, traditionally, Andy Reid was a great screen guy. Like, sure. And I think you got you got the real ability to run a ton of screens, including those quick flash screens, those little flash passes to Deshaun. I mean, you know, those wide receiver screens. Yeah, I mean, there's a million things you could do with these. With this,
so much, man. Doug, it's on Doug now. He's got so much to work with, man. So much.
I feel it. Great stuff, man. Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it. Nah, I mean, their offense, you start to get creative and think what they can do. I mean, it's the endless possibilities. Endless. 610-632-0975. One open line. You can grab it now. This is the Mike Missanelli Show. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
4:30 on the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Cuz. Hanging out. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. What are you doing there, Nat?
Just dancing. I love the return music.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you got in store? What are you in store tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah, you got any good plans?
Might do a little shopping.
Where at?
Probably Center City.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for something to wear for Saturday. I don't know what to wear.
For FanFest?
Yeah.
You don't have the big FanFest outfit?
Not yet.
Oh, I got it taken care of already.
What do you got?
I talked about it with Jason today on the Midday Show.
What are you wearing?
You and Jason talking fashion?
Yeah. I got my EB jersey from when he first signed here.
Oh, there you go.
I'm rocking really? That Saturday.
You got the EB jersey?
Yes. I
got
to show respect to the GM.
That's good. That's really
love
cool.
Love the Elton Brand jersey.
That's awesome.
Yeah, see, the jersey that I love, the Sixers with the basketball swoosh underneath. I know you're not the biggest fan of that logo, but I loved it.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, listen, I like it. It's fine. I love the old. I love this logo, man. It's the best.
Those jerseys that they just brought back, they look awesome.
They're dynamo. Those are 1971 jerseys.
Yeah, they look great.
That's pretty cool. I gave Elton respect I've been writing this screenplay forever, right? Stay up all night. You say it, right? I'm over at my buddy Vinny's. We're, you know, hacking away, but there's an architect. There's a guy who's an architect who gets mentioned. So I named the architect Elton Brand.
Oh.
So he's talking about this, you know, building this building, and he's like, you know, who's the? It's like we're interviewing architects. I like this Elton Brand. Yeah, he's GM, right?
That's funny.
I like that. It's going to work by you.
Little thing, a little slip in. So.
I can't wait to. When is what's happening with that?
I don't know. I'm praying. It's supposedly we're really, really close. Like, this is like the last of the rewrites, which there have been 1,000.
Right.
So this supposedly is the last rewrite, and then we'll see. Then it goes to the big money guy in Hollywood.
Okay.
And then they're going to the Toronto Film Festival.
With it?
No. Well, they're the producer and the production company guy, head of the production company. They're going to Toronto.
Okay.
So they're supposed to plot in Toronto and talk to directors when they're in Toronto.
Okay.
And get the director. But the good thing is that if by chance, please, St. Anthony, if by chance, I would pray to St. Anthony for my mother, if that does happen, they will shoot it in Philly because the movie takes place in Philadelphia in the early 80s.
I can't wait to see this unfold. It's going to be awesome.
It's
going to
be really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, it could be great. It could be great.
Like, it will be. We're going to speak it into existence,
yes,
Ant.
If it happens.
Yeah.
You know, the green light comes, they'll, you know, we'll shoot it here. And
yes, I'll be your lead role. That's okay. You don't even have to ask.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't play. You really can't play the lead role.
All right, I'll play a supporting role. How's that sound?
I'd set her for being an extra.
Yeah, you'll definitely be an extra.
Just have me like in the background of the restaurant.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I'll put both you guys in as extra.
Nice.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yes.
we'll put everybody in. No, but you
wouldn't
guys
that be so funny?
Nah, it would be great. It would be great. We did one years ago. My buddy Tim Chambers, who's unbelievable movie guy, director, writer, did the Mighty Max.
And oh,
that,
yeah.
That was a part of that one. That was a lot of fun.
That was pretty big, doing too. Yeah. That was huge.
Timmy did an amazing job. Yeah. With that. Shame, because it should have been even bigger. He did an incredible job.
Right.
But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So hopefully, you never know. But who knows? Listen, they'll take it over and I'll be out. Like, I'll be lucky to get on set.
That's not true.
No, really. You know,
you've been such an integral part of this for so long.
When you're the writer, like, you're like the low man on the totem pole. You just, like, birth the story.
See, and that's a shame. That's the
that's
the shame in it.
That's all right.
You'll be.
We'll see.
Oscar, here you come.
Yeah, right.
The red carpet.
Yeah. Look at this in Cherry Hill. Finding Forrester is on the line. Forrester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do you say, brother?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I was wondering to give my old-time hate for Boston Celtics.
It's a great name, by the way, Forrester.
Foster.
Oh, Foster. That's a great name, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Stephen Foster, but it's my first name.
Nice.
I've talked to Mike before, but listen, I'm an old-timer, but I'm a sports fan from way back. I'm 77, and I go back to the great days of Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That crowd when I saw, was it the game, when he punched Luskatov in the mouth, and it wrecked the, you probably, I don't know if you know that, and it messed up our tournament, and Boston went on to win that one. That was Bob Cousy and Bill Sharman and all those guys.
Sure, no, I mean, listen, that was the first, that was the birth of that rivalry. Right.
Damn right. That was big. Yeah. So I remember all that. And
did you remember that? You also had to love the Doc Bird rivalry too, right?
Who?
The Doc Bird rivalry.
Oh yeah. Oh God. That's later. That comes later.
Yep.
Larry Bird. Yeah. Well, I was at the parade when Billy Cunningham was the coach. Out in Philly, and Dr. J had to take over the microphone for him.
Yeah, I was there, too. I remember.
Yeah, I was there. I had all my family, my kids, and everything.
At the vet. You remember they were at the vet?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Moses.
Dr. J. And
Moses
Bobby
said, we want to repeat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was Moses. Was that full.
Yeah. We want
to
repeat.
To him later. Well, hey, what happened, Mo? She says, full went so bad. Love Moses.
That's awesome.
So, like, I was there when Dr. J took that ball against Cooper and the Lakers from half court and had that ball on his hip.
Rock the baby.
Show that.
Yeah.
Dr. J on the slam and jammer.
Yeah, it was a rock. That was a rock the baby dunk.
But anyway, I what I hated about Boston, still do, was, and I'm not really a hater, but I hate Dallas and I hate Boston Celtics.
You should, Foster. That's it, man. You should hate them. That's right. It's part of your DNA. That's what we're talking. Look, Phillies are playing the Red Sox. I can't believe this lineup. So I bring up all of a sudden, like, I'm all into the Boston hate, and then that lineup comes. Like, what's he, crazy? In case you just joined us, Gabe is batting Reese leadoff yet again. What? Why are you batting him leadoff?
All right, here's
and
the question.
And the Napper
who is in the more? Lineup. Boston in general or Gabe Kapler and his lineups?
Boston.
All right.
Boston. Nah, man.
It's close, though.
Nah, it's not close.
It's close.
Close to the Vikings. Eric and Trenton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. E.
What's up, Mikey? You sound a little heavy there.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Nothing. You're talking about sports hate. And there was one person I hate, and it's not the basketball player. It was the baseball player, Mike Scott, from the Houston Astros.
Pitcher. Yeah.
I hate Mike Scott?
Why did you hate Mike Scott, the pitcher?
Because he was that good for that short amount of time.
Listen, he was. He was a great pitcher. You're right. He was a great pitcher for the Astros.
And, you know, he just
had that. How about our Mike Scott? He's a great dude, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you guys were talking, I was getting goose pimples, and basketball isn't even close to being my favorite sport.
Ah, you're on board. All I care is that Chumley's on board.
Oh, yeah, Chum's on board.
That's all I matter. Chumley's your is a bulldog. You're American bulldog, right?
Yep, and TG was the one that liked you and followed you into the studio.
Yeah, yeah, I love those dogs, man. I mean, you could tell I'm a dog person. When you came to the studio that day, Eric, and you had us, you had the dogs with you, I enjoyed it. I love the dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I didn't have nothing better to do. You know, I'm just laying around the house doing nothing.
Why? So yeah, you just slumming here at the Fanatic?
Huh?
You're just slumming it here at the Fanatic? You look better than Deuce. You figure, why? I'll just go slumming over there with those guys.
Nah, I wouldn't call it slumming. You know, I enjoyed myself just hanging out, cool, watching you guys do work.
All right. No, you got it, brother.
It was good. And I'll put Gigi up against any of you guys that are garbage dumpers with Eaton. I mean,
I'll go Tunis against Gigi. Tunis, could you beat the dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could beat the dog in an eating contest.
All right, but you know what? Make it happen, Eric.
Yeah, we'll make it.
We'll do a little tailgate fun, and it'll be Tunis versus Gigi.
We need him under the table for fastness. We can't feed her too much.
No, not a fan fest. Too crazy fan fest.
A pound of food.
No, you bring
it.
Yeah, no,
like
we'll bring it here.
15 seconds.
All right, we'll bring her in. Bring Gigi in. Who you got, Nat?
In an eating contest?
The Gigi, the bulldog, or Andrew?
I think I got to go Andrew.
Yeah, I'm going to win. I'll win.
You better.
Like, I think people underestimate the amount of food I can eat.
Should we bring Mike Scott's chicken sandwich to FanFest?
I want to see Andrew eat it.
I'm out on the germs.
You know what? You know what's funny? You could probably get $50 for that.
We were talking about that.
Someone would buy it.
Listen, if people get tattoos of Mike on them,
someone will definitely buy this half-eaten chicken sandwich.
Don't buy the Mike Scott $50 chicken sandwich. In fact,
should we entertain some offers? Are we allowed to do that?
as long as it goes to charity.
We should auction it off the rest of the way. Like, call us. How much they're offering
to buy. The Sixers charity.
Yeah, well, yeah. For Sixer charities.
Here's Mike Scott's. Hopefully they're okay with this. Here's Mike Scott's half-eaten sandwich.
We'll start at $5.
All right, let's see. And we could document that it definitely was Mike's half-eaten sandwich.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying we can dock it. It's for real. Like, you know, it's always bogus, these items. This was so-and-so's whatever, right? Like, this is...
Look, Aunt, it's...
Yeah, it's... All right, here it is. There's the sandwich. Do I hear? So the first bid is $5.
Can I get $5? $5
milkshake. It's a $5. Mike Scott half-eaten chicken sandwich. Where are you going to get that? Really? It's something you can't
buy. Priceless.
So Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Cuz, filling in 97.5 Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Or City. Right here on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm Anthony Gargano filling in for Mikey, who's down the shore. And don't forget our 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Coming up 5:15 Tuesdays with Sal. So we'll talk some birds with Sal. I'm actually to hear what Sal has to say and what his outlook is. I just can't wait. There's two things I can't wait for on this landscape. And that is, I can't wait to watch the Sixers play swarming defense, and I can't wait to see the Eagles play offense.
September 8th. It needs to be here. I'm usually a guy that doesn't like to wish the summer away, you know.
I know.
So I got baseball. But now that we're on August 20th.
And now that you have Rhys Hoskins leading off.
Yeah, I need football.
In the middle of the slump.
I need football.
Are you kidding me, Gabe? And the Napper is in the lineup against the Red Sox?
In a postseason push.
Come on, dude. You got 2 off days. Your real Muto can't catch. Got 2 off days. Got Monday and Thursday. What is it about him that frustrates all of us? And you know what I don't get? And that I don't understand it one bit. is when he does it on, like it's almost like he does it on purpose.
What, with the top of the lineup?
Yes.
Well, so last week when we had Hembo on, Hembo was talking about how since McCutchen went down, statistically, the numbers reflect that top of the lineup position has been the most difficult to replicate, even what he was putting up. And, you know, he's no, like, top of the lineup guy. So if they don't make the playoffs, you could pinpoint literally that injury as to the exact reason. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but that's why it's interchangeable. It doesn't make sense.
Listen, I get, and I appreciate that. I'm not waving my hand at you. I'm just... That's not an excuse.
No, I get what you're saying.
Andrew McCutchen is 32 years old. Like, that's not an excuse.
But what Hembo was saying was that his productivity reflects they haven't been able to figure out who to put in there, and it affects the lineup top down.
He also got hurt
in June,
right?
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying that that's what they're
trying to figure that out.
I mean, like there were all kinds of guys. I wanted that Maliek Smith, from Seattle, who was a table setter. But whatever, like that's not a good enough excuse.
I want to draw Dyson.
I love Hembo, by the way.
Right.
I do. I love him. And I can see that spot is a problem. But what sense does this small lineup make when you have Reese Hoskins, who's scuffling, batting first, and then you got G. Segura batting fourth?
Right. It's been frustrating for everybody.
Like, this lineup makes no sense. Like, you just reinvented the game. There's no such thing as a cleanup hitter now.
No, according to Gabe Kapler. And Hoskins is 1-for-13, the leadoff spot. So it's not like it's working out. Remember, that one hit was to start off the game against the Cubs when they beat up on Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I know.
Since then, 1-for-13. By the way, change of plans.
Yes.
Sal Palantonio will join us at 5 o'clock now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, Tuesdays with Sal straight up at 5.
Straight up at 5 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to it. That's my man, Sal. You know, he and I go way back. We go back to when he first started covering football for the Inquirer. You know, he was an amazing journalist, award-winning, you know, covered politics, covered City Hall. And then he got switched over to sports. He wanted to do a little sports, and he started covering the Eagles. And I was in New York covering the Giants and all the NFL and from New York. So we became buddies. We flew on some, you know, way back in the day. Andrew in Georgia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Anthony, how are you, my friend?
What's happening, buddy?
All right, so hatred. Hatred's a very interesting thing. It's a very powerful emotion.
Yes.
I mean, I still carry a grudge from people from the second grade. So people who say you have to let go of hate, no. No, you bring it into your life and you use it, all right? So my hatred is spread around a little bit, Anthony, but there's four teams that get most of my ire, four cities, I should say, all right? So, first of all, I cannot stand the New York Giants.
Okay.
The New York Giants drive me. I see that blue.
Yeah.
And I hate them. I hate the team.
Yeah, okay? I hate the team, too. I agree.
I don't mind a Giants fan, all right?
Right.
Especially since I moved down here. A Giants fan's a lot like me, right? His name probably ends in a vowel. Right. He's a nice fellow. We enjoy getting together, right?
Right.
Now, the Dallas Cowboys fan is by far the worst fan ever. You might think, okay, it's just the people in the Philadelphia area who Cowboy fans are terrible. No, I moved down here, and every Cowboy fan I met is a complete and utter scumbag. I can't stand them.
All right, I love it. I love it.
We then go a step further, okay? Boston, the smugness, just pure smugness and arrogance of a Boston fan.
Dripping with arrogance. More arrogance than Andy McPhail.
That is correct. That is correct. Now, Anthony, that arrogance can only be matched by one group, and that is the Alabama football fan. They,
Roll
Tide. This is terrible. It's horrible.
Roll Tide. By the way, Georgia's going to be good, though. Georgia's going to give him a run.
Georgia's going to be, hey, I'm pulling for my boy Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech, man. I hope he turns that action around.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, though. That's going to be, nobody's beat Clemson anyway. Clemson's still the best team in the country.
No, without a doubt. But give him 5 years, man. He might do something there.
Yeah, watch my boy Baylor. Watch the Baylor Bears.
Maddie and Sean Patton out there getting it done.
That's right. Wow, you know Sean, man. Sean's my boy.
Yeah, Sean and Matt coached me in college.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, no, they're going to be good. You watch. And then they'll be in the NFL next year. That's it, Andrew. Thank you, buddy. Good talking to you, brother. We'll come back. Sal Pal, Tuesdays with Sal at 5. And then the rest of the show is yours. It's the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia.